after all that we've been singing. What's the theme been? Don't be shy. Follow Me. That's the title of the message tonight. So would you like to stand with me, if you can, as we read from God's Word? And the scripture is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 to 25. And Peter is speaking and he says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they heard their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Please be seated, and may the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Excuse me. I'm confident tonight that all of us can remember a time in our lives when we were scared or afraid. If I was to ask you to take a moment, I'm sure something will pop into your mind. A time in your life when you were really scared and afraid. One of my scariest memories goes back quite a few years when I was a lot fitter and I could climb mountains. I can only look at mountains now and dream of climbing them. But I did. I used to climb. I don't think there was any mountains in the Mourns over a period of years I didn't climb. But on this occasion, I wasn't up the mountain with my normal guide, which would have been Chris Girvan. It was actually a guy that I worked with called Andy. And Andy, he was, I thought, competent in climbing the mountains. I knew he could read the map and the compass and whatever. So he asked me to go up with him, and me and my brother, we went up with him one Saturday. And actually, if you're familiar with the mountains in the Mourns, it was called Binion. And there's parts of Binion quite steep and quite rocky. So we started out, it was a lovely day, and we got to one of the peaks on it, and it was a beautiful view. And then suddenly, and I mean suddenly, everything changed. The view disappeared, and the mist settled in. And you know the way you hear people describing, you know, you couldn't see your hand in front of you? Well, that's literally what it was. I'm not exaggerating. You couldn't see your hand in front of you. So this guy, he was like a mountain goat. He really was. He used to come down the mountain with his hands in his pockets. And then going, if he falls, he's going to be ruined. But he never did. He never fell. But we're up on the top and the mist came down. We couldn't see anything. And I thought we would have just sat still until hopefully the mist cleared and you could see where you were going. No. You can't navigate in the mist. You can't do it. No matter how good you are, you can't do it. But this guy was adamant. And this is what he said to me and my brother. Follow me. And I remember looking at him and I went, follow you. And he went, yeah. Follow you where? Round the mountain. And he says, but you can't see round the mountain. Follow me. And away he went. And he literally disappeared into the mist. So I said to my brother, Terry, he says, come on, I'm gonna follow him. And for a brief period, it was scary, but then it got really scary because the ground turned to not grass or heather, it turned into slabs of stone. And I had enough experience to know that that wasn't particularly good. And with the mist coming down, the slabs were getting wet and slippy. And I remember saying to my brother, and I was scared, honestly was scared. And I said to my brother, stop, we're not going any further. And we'd gone a bit. And we went back literally on our hands and knees. And on our way back to where we had come from, all of a sudden there was this breeze. It just came out of nowhere. And it opened up the mist. And down to our right-hand side on the way back was a sheer drop. A sheer drop. And I'm telling you, I was scared before the wind opened that up. I was a lot more afraid and scared when I saw where we were. And I'll never forget that experience. Because I hadn't experienced that type of fear before. I actually did fear for my life. Because if we had slipped off this slab, we were dead, or at least very, very seriously injured. And I remember, we just sat there. And this guy, out of the mist, was shouting at us, where are you? And he says, we're around here. We're not budging. And he came back. And he says, what are you doing? Follow me. And I went, no chance. And he says, we're waiting until the mist clears. And we did. We wouldn't move. And he had the audacity to come a few weeks later. And he says, going up the mountains again, Jimmy. Saturday, you coming? I went, no. No chance. But you see, folks, in life, we all follow something or someone. I wonder if you were asked the question, or if you asked this question to a large group of men, I wonder what their response might be. And the question would be this, who do you follow? Who do you follow? If I asked this man at the front here, who do you follow? He just gave me a bit of news there. I wish he hadn't given me. Who do you follow? Liverpool. Traitor. Only joking. You see, automatically with a lot of men, they'll tell you their football team. Who do you follow? Liverpool. Man United. Rangers. Did somebody say Celtic? No, don't think so. But we all follow something. Now, there's people who follow, I don't. You know the series that you have on TV, EastEnders? I don't even know if that's still going, is it? Is it? EastEnders, Carnation Street, and all those ones. Do you know a program that came into my mind this week when I was doing this, and you're not going to believe this. A lot of you won't remember this. You're too young. That gives my age away. Put your hand up if you remember Crossroads. Oh, for goodness sake, we're all old. You remember Crossroads? There's only one character in Crossroads that I could remember. Just one. And I used to watch it every tea time. My mum never missed it. Who was it, Lenny? Benny. Benny. If you mention Crossroads to someone, that's probably the character that gets you, isn't it? Benny. I don't know why. But it was Benny. So we all follow things. I follow sometimes snooker. I have my favorite snooker player, would be Ronnie O'Sullivan. I follow the motorcycle racing. My favorite would be, of course, Johnny Ray. Cars, Lewis Hamilton. You see what I'm getting at? We all follow something or someone in life. The well-known Scottish football club is noted for this song. Follow, follow, I will follow who? Rangers. Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. You do know that they stole that song, don't you? They stole it. It was a Christian hymn. They stole it from a man who wrote it called W.O. Cushing. And they changed the words in it. It wasn't to follow Jesus, it was to follow Rangers. In the time that's left, I want us to consider what it means to follow Jesus and why we should follow him. What it means to follow Jesus and why we should follow him. Now, that passage that I read from, I don't know how many sermons you could get out of it, quite a few. But tonight I want to focus on just one verse, and it's verse 21. And this is how it read. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. In most verses, we would say there are key words in the verse, and this verse is no different. The word you, the word called, an example, and following his steps, I would say they are key words in the verse. And when we look into the life of Jesus, we'll find that he constantly, throughout his 3 years of ministry, he called people to follow him. And in this verse, the Apostle Peter is focusing his emphasis, if you like, or the emphasis of his teaching, on each individual who's gathered together. You know, sometimes when someone speaks, they're speaking to the crowd, corporate. But in this verse, Peter is speaking directly to each individual. In this one sentence, I know you didn't count them, but I did. Peter uses the word you four times. Four times in this short verse, he uses the word you. To this, you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Peter was saying to each one of them, listen very carefully to this teaching that I am giving you, because you need to respond to it personally. I've heard sometimes people say, oh, I know who that message was for in a church. You ever hear anybody say that? I know who that message was for. And the likelihood, the message could have been for them, but they thought it was for someone else. But Peter is very specific. He talks to each individual and says, you need to follow in Christ's steps. It is told that an Indiana cemetery has a tombstone, that's in America, more than 100 years old, and it bears the following epitaph. Pause, stranger, when you pass me by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. So prepare for death and follow me. Apparently an unknown passerby read those words and underneath scratched this reply. To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. And that makes sense, doesn't it? Think what you may of that epitaph and that scratched response, but we do need to be careful who we follow. And we do need to prepare for death. During my teens, not so while ago too, I ran around with a gang of older fellas, and they were quite a bit older than me. And I followed those guys into things that I shouldn't have. And I got into trouble, and I can honestly say this, it was only by the grace of God, even though I wasn't following Jesus at the time, that I didn't end up in prison or jail or somewhere else. But I can tell you this, folks. Honestly, after following Jesus for over 40 years, he has never led me into trouble. He has never brought me down a path that was troublesome, that was illegal, or anything like that. In fact, just the opposite. You see, following Jesus really does help to keep us out of trouble. If we follow him, if we trust in him, he will keep us out of trouble. In some scriptures, we read of individuals, we know their names who were called to follow Jesus. But there were many that Jesus called. We don't know their names. But we do know that when Jesus called his first disciples to follow him, we do know quite a few of their names, if not all of them. And it just so happens that the writer of the epistle that I read from, he was one of the first two that Jesus called to follow him. And we read that account in Matthew chapter 4. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and bear in mind, the man who wrote the epistle, Peter, this is who we're talking about, who Jesus meets for the first time. And here, years later, what's Peter doing? He's still following Jesus. Jesus has been crucified, resurrected, gone back to heaven. And now Peter, who Jesus told him, he says, you're going to be a pillar of the church. This fisherman, he wasn't an educated man, he was just an ordinary man. But Jesus called him to follow him, and it totally transformed his life. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And then another one we read in John chapter 1. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. And I could go on. Jesus was constantly calling people to follow him. And a lot of people responded. And those who responded, they were blessed. Those who didn't respond, folks, well, it didn't work out too good for them in the end. We know, or when we know that Jesus is calling us, folks, and he is still calling people, thank God, the wise response should be the same as the fishermen, and that is to follow him. That's the wise decision. Jesus also called a group of people that many probably would have not looked upon favorably. He called some tax collectors to follow him. I call them the terrible tax collectors. The tax man's terrible, isn't he? What does he take, about a fifth of your wage? Or maybe a bit more? Well, way back then, these guys were extortionists. They really treated the people so harshly. They hiked the taxes, and that's why they were so hated. We know of at least three by name, Matthew, Levi, and Zacchaeus, but there were others who weren't named. You can read about them in Matthew and in Luke and in Mark, where Jesus said, follow me. That's what he said to Matthew. Matthew got up and followed him. He saw Levi, the tax collector, sitting at his tax booth, and he said, follow me. It says Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. And then we read in Mark chapter 2, while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. Many who followed him. But folks, there were many who didn't. Many who didn't. Jesus was often criticized for people, some people who he called to follow him, especially these tax collectors. He was criticized time and time again. They identified these tax collectors as sinners, which they were at that point, and they thought that Jesus should have absolutely nothing to do with them. Why would you want these sinners following you about? You know, sometimes you can be labeled guilty by association, can't you? Which is not right, but it happens. I remember my mother never knew half the stuff I was up to. She really didn't, like. And she would have said to me, "Hope you're not running around with so-and-so." And I went, "No, I'm not." But I was. And if she'd have knew some of the other ones, they were probably deemed worse than that one. Jesus did not worry about people criticizing him. What mattered to Jesus was those whom he called and they followed him. And he loved them and he cared for them. He defended them. He wasn't caring about people calling him names because he was associating with them. You know, people really take notice when you follow Jesus, folks. They do. Or they should take notice. We read of a man, another tax collector. In fact, he was a chief tax collector. We would say he was the head buckcat. And his name was Zacchaeus. And we read that account in Luke 19 as Jesus entered Jericho, was passing. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and surprise, surprise, he was wealthy. Well, why was he wealthy? Because he was ripping everybody off. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, this is a bit of a funny story too, if you can picture this. This wee short chief tax collector, a wee charlatan, He heard the noise of the crowd and he was, "Hey, what's going on here?" You could near picture him jumping up and down, couldn't you? "Oh, I can't see nothing." So what does he do? He climbs a sycamore tree to see who it is. And he sees Jesus. And whenever Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And here we go again. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "What? Does he know who he is? That's Zacchaeus, the worst tax collector of them all, because he's the chief. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Folks, isn't it great that Jesus is not afraid to be our friends? We're sinners, all of us. Jesus is not ashamed to call us friends. Jesus is not ashamed to associate himself with us. And then we read about Zacchaeus. Something happened that day to Zacchaeus. And folks, when you follow Jesus, something will happen in your life. And I can tell you now, it'll be something wonderful. It won't be anything bad or doubtful, it'll be something wonderful. And it happened to Zacchaeus. This chief tax collector, this charlatan, we read, "But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor.'" Wow. "And if I have cheated," this is a bit rich, "if I have cheated..." Well, you could almost be certain, yeah, he had. And that's why he was saying this. "And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back, not what I stole, not what I extorted, four times the amount." And what did Jesus say to him in response? Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house." In other words, today is a case salvation has come to your heart, to your life. And I would suggest his family as well. Jesus came to save sinners. That was us, folks, not included the tax collectors. Jesus didn't come to call saints. He came to call sinners. and transform them into saints. And Jesus is still calling people to follow him today. So I want to ask you a question tonight, folks. Who are we following in our lives? Who are, I'm not talking about the football team or your favorite snooker player. It's a deeper question than that. What philosophy in life? Who are we following? Are we just like Frank Sinatra, doing it our own way? Following our will, following our ways, and just hoping that in the end it all works out. Have you ever heard of a man called Jim Jones? No? I'm going to show you a picture in a minute, but I'm going to warn you before we show the picture. It's quite graphic, and it's very, very sad. Just to warn you, okay? Go ahead, Michelle. These are dead bodies. Women and children. Over 900 men, women, and children. Until the September 11th attacks, the tragedy in Jonestown on November the 18th, 1978, represented the largest number of American civilian casualties in a single non-natural event. It is unfathomable now, as it was then, that more than 900 Americans, members of a San Francisco-based religious group called the People's Temple, they died after drinking poison at the urging of their leader, the Reverend Jim Jones, in a secluded South American jungle settlement. Photographs taken after the carnage forever document the sheer enormity of this event. The bodies of hundreds of people, including children, lying face down in the grass. Thanks, Michelle. Thanks, Sam. A leader called Reverend Jim Jones. Over 900 people followed him to commit suicide. Men, women, and children. Folks, that is unfathomable when you think about it. Over 900 people. They followed this man to their death. And you might think to yourself, well, Pastor, how could that happen to them? Over 900? Yeah. Were they stupid? Well, I'm sure they weren't all stupid people. I'm sure if you went through the records of the dead, you would probably find some very smart people amongst that group of dead people. So what happened? Why did they follow him to their death? I'm not sure if there is a definitive answer to that. Except this, perhaps. They believed in this man, Jim Jones. They believed in him. They blindly, if you like, believed in him. So much. They put their trust in this man so much that they were prepared to take their own lives, to drink poison and die. Folks, that was a terrible tragedy that shocked our world. But again, it reinforces the thought that how important it is and how careful we need to be, who we follow, who we listen to. What is it that motivates us in life? Scripture tells us that we should test the spirits. Folks, whenever someone tells you or I something that does not line up with God's word, then I'm going to tell you plainly, do not believe it. Do not follow it. If it's not in God's word, then it's going to be of no good for you or for me. God will not ask us to do anything beyond what he teaches in Scripture. These people were duped. They were led astray. They followed a wicked man. Only a wicked man could do that. He wasn't a saint. He wasn't a true follower of Christ. And yet with all, people followed him. Friends, following Jesus will not ruin our lives. It will do the exact opposite. Following Jesus will bring us into alignment with the will of God and the purposes of God for our lives. I really do hope, no matter what age we are, that God does have a purpose and a plan for all of us. Because God's word tells us we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. By who? God, our Creator in heaven. And how do we know that someone has our best interests at heart? There's a good question. How do we know? When someone has our best interest at heart. Well, in the case of the Father and the Son, we know that because we read it. For God so loved you and I that he gave his only begotten Son. You see, Jesus didn't come and ask us to die. In that respect, Jesus came and he paid the price for our sin. He died. We are healed by the stripes that were borne upon him, Isaiah says. By his stripes we are healed. In other words, the beating that we should have got for our sin, we didn't have to take it. We deserved it. But God said, no, I'm going to send my Son, and he's going to be the sacrifice for your sin. He's going to take your punishment. Again, Isaiah said, the punishment and the chastisement that should have been upon us was upon him. And folks, that's how we know that whenever we follow Jesus, we are safe and secure from all alarm. Because he has our best interest at heart. All the time. He only wants the very, very best for us. And that's why he bids us to follow him. He says, come unto me. Follow me. I will lead you. I will guide you. I will direct you. Not into anything bad. Not into anything harmful or hurtful. But I will lead you and guide you into the best possible life that there is for you on this earth. And you know what, folks? Now, you may not believe this, but it's truth. We can never find it until we follow him. We can never find it until we follow him. When we follow him, then we find out this. Do you know what? I meet people, and I met a man actually on Friday. I took a funeral service. And I'd asked the folks in the prayer meeting on Thursday night to pray for me. Because I had a bit of an idea of a lot of the people who were going to attend this funeral service. And it was quite big. They had to go into the overflow. And the deceased, and I'm not judging the man at all. I didn't know him. Met his son and his daughter, came home from Canada. I got to know him a little bit, what they told me about their dad. But they told me our dad, the second home was Fajo's, up the town, the pub at the top of Carnegie Street. And a lot of the man's friends were there from Fajo's. And when it finished and we came out and was just standing, waiting for the coffin to go into the hearse, this man, bit haggard looking, bit rough looking, he came over to me and he says, excuse me, in a very soft voice, excuse me, Reverend. He called me a Reverend. He says, this is a bit weird, you know. And I went, what's that? And he says, you see that scripture that you read from? And I went, yes. He says, I have been trying to read the Bible, to read through the Bible. He says, it's not easy. He says, no, sometimes it's not. He He says, but that scripture that you read, that was my daily reading this morning. I went, wow. I says, you know what? That's not weird. He had told me in another sentence, he says, you know, I'm looking for something. I'm trying to find something in life. And I knew what he meant. Maybe he wasn't 100% sure. But I told him, I says, you're on the right track. Keep reading God's word. But don't just read it. And I said, I believe that what you think's a bit weird, that the scripture that I read from, and that was your daily reading, and it was about Calvary, it was about the cross, it was about three men on those crosses, Jesus in the middle, try and get the picture. One man mocking and scoffing with his dying breath. What a shame. What a tragedy. Mocking Jesus with his dying breath. And here's the other guy. He's not mocking Jesus. He's dying too. And apparently there was no more excruciating death than being crucified. And I believe with the man's dying breath, he turned to Jesus and he said this, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And I said, you know, I wonder if there was anyone else in the crowd there that heard him say that to Jesus. Because the crowd was shouting at Jesus and mocking him. The other guy at the other side was shouting and mocking him. And this man with his dying breath said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I don't know if anybody heard that or not, but Jesus did. And Jesus responded. And it actually was mentioned briefly in one of our songs, one of the videos. Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Isn't that wonderful? Folks, in life, there's basically two type of people. If you want to break it down as simple as you can, there will be those who will mock Jesus with their dying breath till the day. They'll mock him. And then you had the other man, and what was he doing? He wasn't mocking. He was asking for mercy. Remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Folks, Jesus didn't turn around and say to this criminal, and he was a criminal, that's why he was being crucified. He didn't turn around and say to him, are you kidding? After the life you've lived, you're asking me to remember you? Come on. No, Jesus didn't do that. Such is the merciful, compassionate love of Christ, where he didn't bring that up. He didn't say, no, you don't deserve to go to heaven after the life you've lived. You think you can live this type of life and then on your if you like, your deathbed, just come to me and ask for forgiveness? But that's not the heart of Christ, folks. There might be people who think like that. And I told them, I says, I do not advocate deathbed conversions. I don't. But I'm going to tell you this, folks. I have been a part of two men dying and wanted to find Christ, and they did. They did, and they're in glory now. Praise God. So, if we are following Jesus day by day, and that's what he's calling us to do tonight, as the song says, then nothing can harm us when Jesus leads the way. Follow me, Jesus said. I just pray with all my heart tonight. If you hear those words of Jesus into your heart, follow me. Do what all those people did that I've read about tonight. They followed him. Their lives were gloriously changed and transformed for the better. Amen. Amen. We're going.